So it's part two of our series, guys, and it's called Fear of Failure. Fear of Failure. And before I go any further, I want you guys to check out this video.
Oh. Oh! Are you okay?
Why'd you make a big mess?
Because it's beautiful.
What's beautiful?
The mess I made.
Go on, walk.
Oh, not my tail!
All right, buddy. Oh!
What?
Does it make me a bad parent that I would be the one that films Abby's tongue getting stuck to a? I would film that too. That's great. You guys should be ashamed of yourself laughing at little kids bumping into things. You guys are sick. You know who's really sick is the people that put the video together to show you guys to begin with. Those are the sick individuals. Hey guys, so. It's called The Fear of Failure today, and as you just saw from the video, we're talking about failing. How many of you guys are afraid of failing? Just in general, failing at a sport, failing in a class, failing in life. That's a common fear that we all have. You can put your hands down. Thank you so much. A lot of you guys have that fear. Hey, but I want to talk to you real quick about this particular topic and what this means and kind of unpack it a little bit. But before we continue, let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we just ask that these next few moments that we have, that Father, you would just speak to our hearts, uplift us, Heavenly Father. God, we just pray that, Lord, whatever fear that we may have, that, Lord God, you would replace that with courage, and that, God, we would have confidence in you and who you are and what you can do and have already done in our lives. We'll give you the honor, the glory, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, guys, if we can turn to our Bibles, to Matthew chapter 19, in verse 16, we're going to talk real quick about a young rich man. Some of you have heard this story many times before, but we're going to kind of look at it in a different light here this evening. So in Matthew chapter 19, there's a few verses here. Last week, we kind of looked at a bunch of verses as well. Is that okay that we read the Bible at church? Is that cool? Like we kind of talk about the Bible. That's why we're here, right? I mean, it may be a little bit longer verses than what we're used to, but I mean, we're at church. If we're going to really talk about the Bible, this is kind of one of those settings, right? Okay, great. Verse 16, it says, "A man approached him and said, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to have eternal life?' Verse 17, Jesus said, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you want to enter eternal life, keep the commandments.'" I want to pause there for a moment. And this particular man is hung up on something that he can do to gain eternal life. He says, "Teacher, what can I do that I can have eternal life, that I can go to heaven?" And you know, this question is not too far-fetched from some of our questions that we ask God and saying, "God, what can I do to be a better Christian? What can I do to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Is there anything that I can do?" And can I tell you, there's nothing that you can do because God has already done it for you. And can I tell you this as well? This rich ruler was trying to ask Jesus if there was a way that he could be perfect in order for him to gain access to the kingdom. So can I tell you something that's kind of refreshing that you can breathe easy? You are not perfect, and it's okay. You don't have to be perfect. No one's asking you to be perfect. And I think sometimes we have a high expectation of ourselves, which I'm not saying is bad. It's good. But sometimes when we don't succeed in those expectations and we feel like we fail, then we completely allow ourselves to just be buried in our misery. I have failed at this. I'm worthless. And then we just go down this road because I failed. It's over. Here's the big picture that I want you to get here tonight. If you don't get anything else that I say tonight, I want you to get this, that your failure is not final. Your failure is not final. Just because you fail at something doesn't mean that you can't succeed. On the other hand, you cannot succeed unless you fail. Oh, this side heard me. Let me go to this side. In order to succeed, sometimes you have to fail. Failure is a part of success. It seems kind of backwards at times, but here's something I want you to think about, is if we never fail, we'll never know how to correct our actions to be a better individual. So don't be afraid to fail, because some of the most prominent leaders, some of the most prominent preachers and business owners have failed more times than they can count. So many times. But yet they had a passion, they had a vision, they knew what they wanted, and they went after it. Can I tell you something? What is your passion here tonight? Is your passion to seek God no matter what, even if you fail along the way? Don't give up seeking God because you're failing along the way. Sometimes those failures will come back to build character and strength so you can be a better person in Christ Jesus. And sometimes those failures are to be a benefit to someone else in your life so they don't have to experience what you've experienced. You ever think about that your failures is not so much about you as it is for the other person? See, sometimes we go through things and it depends on whether you get up or not, that the other person may have hope and may have faith and may have joy and strength as well. Can I take it a bit further? In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, it says this, a just man, or this for this translation, forgive me, I'm quoting the King James, for the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. Can I tell you about this verse real quick and not spending too much time? It starts by saying the righteous fall seven times. The righteous. He didn't talk about the people that are lukewarm. He didn't talk about the wicked at first. He's talking about you and me, Christians, in this room right now, fall seven times. But what makes you righteous and what separates you from the wicked is that we get back up again each and every time. See, I like to say it and put it like this. God does not count how many times you fall. He counts how many times you get back up. See, we may fall and fail several times, but it's not about those times that we fall. It's about the times that we get back up. See, if we were a boxer and just because we got knocked down, we thought it was over and it was final and there goes the bell, you are sadly mistaken. See, we are in the fight of our lives, and it's this thing called spiritual warfare. And we're in this fight against everything, against principalities. I know I'm going deep, but stay with me. There's some things. We're battling depression. We're battling anxieties. We're battling suicidal thoughts. But can I tell you, just because you get knocked down, doesn't mean the fight is over. You have much fight left in you, and your failure is not final in Jesus' name. Get back up. But because we've been knocked down, because we've gotten bruises in life, guess what happens? We fear to try again. I don't want to try again because I failed before, so if I do it again, I may fail, and what's the point? You ever been to that stage in your life, a what's the point stage in your life? Hey, let's keep reading. This is going to answer this question. I don't want to get ahead of myself because I'm going to give you three things that I want you to take away from tonight as well. In verse 17, why do you ask me what is good? Keep my commandments. Verse 18, the man said, which ones? Jesus said, don't commit murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. In verse 20, this is key. Check this out. Verse 20, the young man replied, I've kept all these. What am I still missing? Have you ever asked God the question, God, I'm doing everything I can. What am I still missing? Why am I still not able to figure it out? Why is it that I keep going to those websites? Why is it that I keep finding myself in precarious positions in relationships? Why is it that I can't seem to get ahead of the game, but when I take one step forward, I take two steps back? This rich ruler was saying, hey, God, I've done all of these. I haven't killed anybody lately. My gun's locked up. I love my wife. I'm honoring my father and my mother. What else am I missing? And I just want to point out something real quick, above all, because as a blanket, as far as young people, you need to hear this. Above all, honor your father and your mother. Whenever someone comes to me and is telling me about domestic problems, I always tell them, hey, honor your father and your mother. And sometimes, hey, this isn't easy sometimes. It's not easy. Sometimes in life, things are hard to obey and hard to continue the process with. But can I tell you, if you can just above all honor your parents, honor them regardless of what's happening in your life, and trust in God that God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. So you may have a broken relationship with your dad, but you don't have to have a broken relationship with your spiritual dad. God can be your father, your mother, your brother, your sister. Anything that you need is in Christ Jesus. So please don't put your everything in things that are failing you. Put your everything in something that will never fail you, that will never leave you, that will always be by your side. His name is Jesus. And I know it's cliche, but hey guys, sometimes things that are cliche, we don't allow it to impact our lives. Don't call it cliche anymore. Let's call it impactful. Let's have it transform our hearts and our lives that Jesus is there when sometimes no one else is there for us. Hey, let's go to verse 21. I've got a few minutes left, but I got to get this out. In verse 21, Jesus said, if you want to be complete, go sell what you own, give your money to the poor, then you will have treasure in heaven and come follow me. See, I don't know if some of you actually grasped this verse here. Because this man has just said, I've done all these things. What else am I missing? Then God comes back and says, sell everything that you own. I can only imagine my response. You'd be like, God, I'm doing everything right now. And I've just asked you a question. What am I missing? And now you're telling me to give you everything? Can I tell you the question that God is asking you and me today is, give me your everything. I don't want the 10%. I don't want the 95%. I want everything. And only you know what that everything is. For some of you, it may be, hey, you know what? I need to take social media off my phone. Oh, I'm preaching. Let me go to this side of the pulpit. For some of you, it may be, I need to get out of that bad relationship. For some of you, it may be, hey, I got to stop watching those movies. I've got to stop playing these video games. What is it that God is asking of you today that is a tough pill to swallow? Sometimes God doesn't ask little things from you. He asks everything of you. Are you ready to respond to what God is asking you to do here tonight? Because I'm telling you, he wants your everything. Because when you give him your everything, in turn, he gives you his everything. See, that's how it works. See, sometimes we come to the altars and we come on Wednesday night and we say, God, I want your everything. I want all of who you are. God, I need you, but I'm only willing to give you 15% of who I am. If you only give 15% of who you are, God is only going to give you 15% of who he is. But if you give him 100% of who you are, God will give you 100% of who he is. And whatever you need, you can have it tonight. But sometimes you and me got to take the stand and have courage and say, you know what? I may have tried this things 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. But you know what? I've feared this failure many times before. But tonight, I'm going to get back up. I may have been knocked down, but it's not over. My failure is not final. And I'm going to press in because, God, I want your everything. So I'm going to give you my everything. That's one of those cliche things again, right? But how many of us put it into practice? It's one of those things where it's easy to preach. It's hard to practice. Come on, in closing. I've only got a couple more minutes. In closing, here's the response. But when the young man heard this in verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away saddened because he had many possessions. Have you ever had God speak to you in this manner and say, I want everything, and it sadden you? You're like, oh man, but I really like this. You have no idea. This relationship is amazing. I really want to see this movie. I really want to see this show. And God is saying, I want that part of you. And some of us, we get saddened because God wants something that we're not ready to give up yet. But I'm telling you guys, when you give it up, even when you're not ready to give it up, God is going to do something in your life. He's going to blow up things in your life. He's going to open the right doors for your school. He's going to open the right relationships for you. He's going to open the right calling and ministry for you. But you have to give him those things that no one else sees. Those things that no one else sees, that only he sees, that he's asking you to give up to him. Can you give it to him tonight? Can you give him those things so he can give you the things that he has in store for you? So he heard this. He went away and he was sad because he had many possessions. And then verse 23, then Jesus said to his disciples, I assure you that it will be very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, it's easier for a camel to squeeze through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 25 is very interesting. It says this, when his disciples heard this, they were stunned. Then who can be saved? In my mind, this question comes from a point of view where if the rich can't do it, if the qualified can't do it, then how can the poor and how can the unqualified do it? I love Jesus' response. This is what he says. Jesus looked at them carefully and said, in verse 26, it's impossible for human beings, but all things are possible with God. You may not think you're adequate enough, but God does. You may think this is impossible, but God says it's possible. You may have to put up a fight sometimes, but guess what? God is in your corner. See, we forget that when we get knocked down in the ring, we have God in our corner that has the best advice, the best solutions, and knows exactly what to do to heal our cuts and our wounds, give us the right things to say, and push us back in the ring and said, you got it. There's no one else that can do that for you but God. See, people may come along and give you great words and inspirational things, but God is the only one that can uplift you like no one else can uplift you and give you exactly what you need to cause you to be strong, to go in for that second, third, and fourth round. I want to give you three things real quick as we wind down to a close. Number one, we fear failure because failing makes you worry about what other people think about you. You ever thought about that? That when you fail, you're concerned about how other people are going to think, so sometimes we won't go for it. I'm going to share this quote with you. It's from Wayne Gretzky. If you don't know who Wayne Gretzky is, he was a very famous hockey player, and I believe Michael Jordan said this as well. But this quote goes like this, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Try it. Try God. I dare you to ask him for the impossible. We just read, he says, with humans, things are impossible, but with me, all things are possible. Can you try him out today? Maybe you've said the same prayer over and over and over, and you said, it's just become just cliche to me. It's just become a part of my language. But can I tell you to try it again tonight? And in doing so, say, God, my failure will not be final. It won't be. And I may have fallen seven times, but you know what? I'm getting right back up again. The second thing is this. Failing makes you worry about your ability to pursue the future you desire. You ever get discouraged and want to give up because you continue to fall, you continue to fail, you feel like things aren't working out. Maybe you constantly are getting a bad letter grade in that math class or in that science class. Maybe you constantly fail in your friend's eyes, you're constantly failing in your parents' eyes, you just don't know what else to do. I'm gonna share this. It's a slow process, but quitting doesn't speed anything up. It's a slow process, guys, but quitting doesn't speed anything up. So if you want to get ahead faster and you want to progress in this life and be strong in God through failures, through thick and thin, don't quit. Because some of us may say, oh, I quit. I'll come back to it later. It doesn't speed up the process. You won't heal over time. That's a myth. Healing doesn't take place over time. God heals over time. God comes in and restores. If you ignore a situation, you won't get healed. But if you face that situation and you say, God, heal me, walk me through this, guess what? God will absolutely do that. We got to trust him, have faith in him. Lastly, number three, failing makes you worry about how smart or capable you are. You ever become insecure when you fail? When you don't do something to the best of what your ability is? Let me tell you something. We said it in the beginning. You're not perfect. Breathe easy. Don't allow your failures to define who you are. Your failures don't define who you are. God defines who you are. And you're more than a conqueror. Can I encourage you? You're more than a conqueror. Greater is the one that's in you than the one that's in the world. You have strength beyond measure. You have the ability to overcome mountains. You have the ability to see God do things in your life like never before. Don't let your failure finalize your circumstance in your life. But allow the failures to teach you how to be successful, because failure is a part of success. Be encouraged tonight, guys. I want to uplift you and encourage you that when life knocks you down, don't stay down. That's the difference between the righteous and the non-righteous. That's the difference between the hardworking and the lazy, is when life knocks us down, we get right back up again. Doesn't matter. Sometimes we feel like when we fail that it's over. It's not over. Sometimes it's just the beginning. Come on, can we stand to our feet tonight?